Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Coach is brought to you by Mass General Hospital Cancer Center, Everyday Amazing, by the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in men's sexual health, McFarland Energy, the area's premier heating oil provider, Needham Bank, and we be your bank, and by the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. Bill, how are you doing today?
All right, Glenn. Kristen,
you
look
rested and just ready for the second half.
You look good. You look good today.
No bye-week rest.
Bye-week is perfect for everybody, right? Perfect time. All right, you always tell us the first week is of bye-week is self-scouting, figuring out what you guys need to improve on and how you can get it done. So give us a little synopsis. How did that go?
Good. Good. It's, you know, a good chance to, you know, kick back and look at things and then also look ahead, you know, see what's in the future here. You know, kind of get an overview of the next seven games. You know, what we need to be ready for. So kind of put it all together and, you know, see what we can do.
Is it one of those things that when you say look ahead, can you actually get, you know, maybe a partial game plan for some of the other teams that you're playing after you play Philly?
Well, I think you have a general idea, just like at the start of the season, you know, first however many games, you know, here are some of the problems we're going to face. There's no need to be oblivious to those when they're eventually going to come in. Some things may hit this week and come back again a couple weeks later. Some things may be unique to this week. Some things may not show up again until two or three weeks from now. So, you know, they come in different shapes and sizes, I'd say. But, you know, in general, I think, you take a little bit of a look ahead and you also see where you are. Some of the things in the past may or may not be that relevant to the future. They could be very relevant or they could be, you know, I would say maybe not especially relevant.
Well, even just injuries could play a role. You could do all this research, do all this prep work, and then somebody gets hurt and they completely change their game plan or their philosophy, right?
Right. Yeah. But I mean, if you play, you know, teams that ran a lot of 11 personnel and now you're playing a team that runs a lot of 12 personnel, it's not necessarily the same. Or you play, you know, a couple teams that were, you know, heavy man teams, and now you're playing more of a heavy zone team, or two of the next three or heavy zone, you know, whatever it is, it could turn a little bit differently than just, well, here's what we needed to do in those last few games. Maybe that doesn't have as much application going forward, or maybe you have to wait a week until you get back to it. So it's just kind of knowing where you are and putting it all together. I don't think there's any set formula to it.
So when you guys don't play football for a week, this conversation about the team and looking back. So I'd ask you, what you guys in a bye week, how does the second half of the season, how do you guys improve in the red zone?
Yeah, well, we try to improve everywhere, so I wouldn't just limit it to that. Just, you know, try to do a better job all the way across the board.
When you look at maybe some of those areas as far as the red zone goes, is it being able to run the ball better in the red zone, or is it something else?
It's a combination of things. You know, we've had penalties down there. We've had opportunities to run the ball better. We've had opportunities to throw the ball better. We've had opportunities to convert on third down. So, you know, everything could be a little bit better.
So when you start at the beginning of the season, there are certain things that you feel your team can do. You're through nine games. There are certain things your team has done very well and other things they haven't done well at all. Do you change up or do you look at the things that you haven't done and say, we still have to do these things? If we want to be a complete team, we still have to do.
Yeah, I think that's really the conversation. I don't think you wait till week nine for that conversation. You have it along the way. But, you know, are we just going to keep trying to do something that doesn't look like we're very good at? Or do we feel like we can be better at it than we've been? We don't have production we want, but we'll get that. And then do we keep working on it? And that's, you know, that's really a question. You know, you only have so many plays. You only have so much time to practice things, so you just have to allocate your time as efficiently as you can to try to get that done. But that's the question. No question. That's
But how do you do that? Because your personnel is your personnel at this point. So do you try to scheme? Do you try to change how you're doing certain things to try to get production out of areas that you're not getting it right now?
Yeah, that's the decision. Do you keep doing what you're doing and feel like you're going to do it better and get it right, or do you feel like we've given this enough of an opportunity, it's not going well, is it time to try something else or try to do what we're doing differently? So, I'm sure there'll be a combination of all those things, and there has been a combination of those things. You know, we've nine games. We haven't just waited till this week to look at that. You know, some of those things come up along the way, and we've made adjustments. There's other things we've said, we don't really have enough time here. Let's, wait till we have a little bit more time, in this bye week and address it then. So there are a couple things that we're going to address this week that we haven't addressed in previous weeks just because it's a little more, we have a little more opportunity to do that.
So I know I ask you, I feel like I ask you this every week, but I'm a huge N'Keal Harry fan. These guys kill me about it all the time. So, and I know I've asked you again a bunch of times, almost every week.
Why don't you use the same answer I've given before?
I know. I just feel like maybe at this time you'll give it away. Right. But how's he progressing as far as, being activated for the game?
Good. Good. We'll see how it goes relative to the game plan, the game and so forth. But, N'Keal's working hard. He's practicing well. And so those are good things.
Is there a player that you could compare him to? I mean, a lot of guys use Anquan Boldin as a comparison. Is that fair to say? Or
yeah, I don't know. I've never coached Anquan Boldin, so I'm not sure.
Is there a guy that you saw and said, wow, he's similar to N'Keal Harry as a rookie?
Yeah, I don't know.
You see, I think that...
Same answer as last one.
Hey, I went in twice.
Well, I want to ask you something else about him because, listen, we know your job's to coach this team and not give away secrets, of what's going on in the organization. And Tom's kind of in that same boat. But I think as fans or in the media... We hear you talking about N'Keal Harry or Tom being maybe short with N'Keal Harry when trying to talk about him. The compliments maybe aren't there. And we say, well, they're not happy with where he's progressing. Just reading into it. And I know that's not what we should be doing, but is that unfair to read into it? Maybe they're just not complimenting enough for us to make us feel like they really enjoy it, like this kid, what they're seeing.
All I can do is answer the questions, Lou. I can't tell you how to think. That's your job.
Yeah, that's not good. I'm not good at that. I read into things too much, Coach. You don't get all the answers, so we read into things too much. I think people, maybe I have, just based on...
I don't know what other answer you want. I mean...
You like him?
Yeah, Kristen asked a question. How's he practicing? He's practicing well. He's improving every day. He's working hard. What are we going to do this week? I don't know. We haven't made up the game plan yet. I can't tell you what we're going to do this week. I don't know what else you want.
So was today just a did you guys practice today?
We did.
Yeah. Was today just a knock off the rust type of thing?
It's a little bit of that. Definitely do some things that I think have application for us going forward, but we're not into the specifics of the game plan like we're going to be on Wednesday, that's for sure.
So I'll bring up another player, Isaiah Wynn. He will be eligible to play, I believe, in the Dallas game. How much work has he been doing on a regular basis?
As much as he can. Yeah, as much as he can.
So let's just get to Philly then, because what is it about this team that stands out to you offensively? Have they changed a lot since the last time you guys played them, or is it still the same philosophy as far as their approach to from game to game?
I think their general philosophy is pretty similar to what it's been, to what Coach Reed has ran. And Peterson ran with Reed, and then Peterson ran without Reed. They've had some personnel changes, but offensively they're an explosive team. They run the ball well. They have a very experienced offensive line. Dillard at left tackle for Peters, but other than that, it's a pretty experienced offensive line. They have two good tight ends. They have a good quarterback. They use all three backs, Howard, Sanders, and Sproles. Aguilar is a quality player. Jeffries is a quality player. Re-signed Jordan Matthews, with Jackson out. So we'll see how things shake out with the rest of the receiver position. But, they have a good offensive line. They have good backs. They have very good tight ends, and they have some good receivers. So they're pretty balanced, run and pass. And You know, they had a long drive to end the Buffalo game. You know, 8 plays, 70-some yards. They had another 8 plays, 70-some yarder against Chicago to kind of put that game away. So they're very capable of controlling the ball, run and pass. And they're one of the top third down conversion teams in the league. They're one of the better red area teams in the league. So they don't lose a lot of yardage in the running game. They don't get in a lot of second and longs. They probably have fewer second and longs than most teams in the league. So they get the ball going forward and do a good job on third down. Are pretty efficient in the red area, so they can move the ball and score points.
So just to, so you mentioned Doug Peterson and then Andy Reid. I just start thinking about the coaching tree from like Mike Holmgren, Andy Reid, like just all those guys. Is it still considered a West Coast offense? Is it kind of morphed into something else, you know, as far as the way that offense was run with Mike and then Andy and just all the other coaches that were running it? Is it the same thing or is it similar to that now?
Yeah, well, Reid and Peterson have made the offense. I mean, it's a West Coast-based passing game. The running game is the running game, which is different. But both Reid and Peterson have taken the college spread element and incorporated that, too. So RPOs and those type plays are definitely part of the offense. So there's certainly a West Coast element of the passing game, but it's – I think you take Mike Holmgren out of it. They don't really, other than a few West Coast pass plays, they don't really run it the way Mike did. And if you go back to Bill Walsh and those, like Bill Walsh, the quarterback's never in the shotgun. So
yeah,
you forget about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's obviously way different in these offenses and in Peterson's offense. So there's some differences, but there are some West Coast principles involved. There's no question about that.
So Tom this morning was talking about how he's still not over that loss in the Super Bowl. I'm curious, how long does it take for you to get over something like that? Do you go back and say, oh, I wish we did this or we could have done that? Like, how long does something like that carry for you?
I think about some of the games that I lost in 75, and 81, and 86.
Yeah. Carry it all.
Well, you hide it so well, Bill.
But, you know, you just got to move on. So, that's what we're doing.
Yeah,
we're.
Hey, you'll hear.
It'll be nothing this Sunday. So we'll see where it goes from there.
And you'll hear people chanting "Philly Special" and stuff like that. I'm sure during the course of the game.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
it'd be a lot worse than that, Ken.
It'd be a lot worse. You've been there many years, dating back to the old Giants days, and I'm sure you've heard everything, especially around the holiday season.
Yeah, I know. It really comes out. Yeah,
it's great when the Santa Clauses battle each other in the stands. That's
they got a bad rap for that. It's like
I've seen it. No, it's happened numerous times. It's happened.
When does it happen? When does it happen?
Numerous.
When has Santa been?
Yeah. No, multiple Santas. It's almost like the Salvation Army Santas get together and have a brawl. That's what it looks like. The defensive front that they present, a lot of first-round picks, Fletcher Cox and other guys. How difficult are they to run on? It's been a problem you guys have had to this point. How difficult are they to run?
Yeah, they're one of the best run defenses in the league. They've only given up 80-some yards a game or something like that. They've done a good job. You know, very well coached. Jim Schwartz does a great job, and They play very wide, so it's hard to get outside on these guys. It's just hard to get past those ends. They're way out there. So they do a good job of funneling things inside, and you have a hard time blocking the linebackers and the defensive linemen in there. So that's the way they've always played. I don't think that's going to change. And so we'll have to deal with that.
Jim Schwartz, he's one of the limbs on your tree, is he not?
So, yeah, Jim worked for me in Cleveland.
Yep.
And, did a great job. Jim's, very good in personnel, very one of the smartest people I know. He has a tremendous capacity for knowledge, recall, very good, schematically as a coach, very good situational coach. I think he does a great job, did a good job in Detroit. Gave us a lot of problems when he was up in Buffalo.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's a good coach.
All right, go ahead, Big Fella.
All right, so we're not going to do the drive of the week because you obviously didn't have a game, Coach. So we're going to do advice of the week, okay? And the advice of the week is going to be me asking you for advice. It's brought to you by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. This season, make sure you're dashing all the way. And for a limited time, the Mercedes-Benz winter event is here. Go to mbusa.com/winter event for offer details. All right, Coach, I don't think I ever came to you for advice when I was playing for you. Probably a mistake.
So
probably
you're doing it some now? Issues.
Yeah, I feel like here's my opportunity to ask you some quality advice. So I got this event I'm doing on Wednesday where I stay up for 25 straight hours. I do radio for 25 hours to raise money for the American Diabetes Association. So, I mean, I know that you've had a lot of sleepless nights, right? Breaking down film, maybe you're not going home. I mean, sleep deprivation plays a role in your ability to think the right way. So I'm asking for some advice. So when you're staying up, like, what do you do to stay up? Like, how do you keep yourself up on those long, sleepless nights when you're here working on film?
I don't. You know, when I hit the wall, then I wrap it up. And
wait, so that's it?
Try to start. Hey,
that's terrible advice.
It won't work.
Wait a second.
It's not working.
You know, I have to stay up. So wait, so when you just hit the wall, you just, that's it, right? You just bail on it, go home. Instead of, like, trying to, I guess, break down film that you're not maybe, you know, retaining, you just say, you know, I'll come back in the morning.
Yeah, I think for me, when I hit the point of diminishing returns, it's time to take a break and start back and be productive.
So
if you're not productive, you're just sitting there, you know, and the film's grinding through, and you look up and you can't remember what the last two plays were because they didn't register, then it's probably not.
So your advice for me is when I get tired is to leave. That'll be two to four.
I could call a friend.
No, don't call me.
Well, I mean, you're on a charity event, so you got to do what you got to do on that one. So I don't know.
Have you ever pulled an all nighter coaching? I'm sure when you were younger, maybe.
Yeah, probably, but it's not
advised.
Not advised.
I mean, you know, if you're trying to work and you're not getting anything done, then, I mean, I don't get it. What's the point?
Yeah. You have no choice.
No, okay.
Yeah, you have no choice.
Stressed.
So okay. The advice really didn't
so
work.
So suck it up.
Just
so
suck it up and go. Get some five-hour energy.
There you go.
Go
there you
go.
So, Bill, it's Veterans Day, and in honoring the veterans, we had Jake Beckett on earlier today who played for you and decided that he had a higher calling and joined the service, and he compared a lot of stuff today in the conversation we had with him about the Patriots and the correspondence to the military. But Christian asked him the question about you and about playing for you and what he thought, how that translated in what he ended up doing. Here's the answer.
Thank you. I treasured my time in New England. I learned, like I said, so many things from him and from the team, you know, things that I'll carry with me for the rest of my life, things that I've carried with me to Iraq and beyond. So just tell him I said thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we're incredibly proud of Jake and 101st Airborne, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Ranger.
And, you know, when he left, I mean, you know, we had a long conversation. We had several long conversations, you know, when he went from defensive end to tight end and, you know, made that move. And, you know, Jake worked extremely hard. He gave us, you know, everything he had and more. He was really a pleasure to coach because he always had a good attitude, worked hard, didn't complain, or anything like that. And, you know, when he left, it was, you know, kind of going on to do other things, and you know, he's obviously, you know, done very well. We're very proud of what he's done, and especially on a day like today to recognize that and thank him for defending our freedom and making what we all do possible, whether it's, you know, your job, my job, all of us. It's you know, we're indebted to him and all the other servicemen and women that defend our country. You know, we talked about that today as a team, and I think we, you know, collectively are, you know, couldn't be more appreciative of what we have, and honestly thank, you know, them and so many thousands that have gone before them that have provided a strong ground for us to stand on.
Yeah, he had said that this was something he had always thought about, but his time here on days like today, you bringing in different people to talk about the team and how important the military was to you, was sort of kind of pushing him in that direction where he knew this was the right move. So a lot of the things that you've done, I think, influenced him as well, making that decision.
It's very humbling, but, you know, what he's done, he's accomplished, and, you know, I didn't do any of that for him. He did it himself, so I'm sure he's very proud of what he's done, and we're very proud of him.
It's amazing. We were talking to him about it. You know, you worry in football every single Sunday about blowing out your knee. Maybe when you're 50 or 60, you're going to have headaches or issues, obviously, because you get hit in the head. And yet, he's going over into Iraq, right into the heart of a situation that is very, very difficult and risking his life. It's pretty amazing when you think about it.
Yeah, well, it's one thing to make a mistake and jump offside on a football field. It's another thing to make a mistake in that line of duty and what the consequences are not only for you but, you know, for your teammates. And so it's obviously a much higher level. But, you know, in a lot of ways, football represents, you know, a more organized way of combat strategy and so forth. And, you know, it's – but we're very proud of Jake and what he's done.
So. And to all the veterans, we thank all of them for letting us do stupid, goofy stuff. Not you, Bill, but us. You know, the three of us doing stupid, goofy stuff.
You throw me in there, too.
The conversation with the coach brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners, committed to an active game plan on the field and off. Back to work for you. We'll see you on Monday.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Lynn.
Good luck in Philly.
Coach. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.